Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
From today, 128 uniformed Gardaí from four designated stations will be authorised to carry tasers while on duty. The move has been criticised by the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, saying tasers are not the Christmas present the Gardaí need. So the question is, are tasers an inevitable part of modern policing or an unnecessary expansion of Garda powers? Acting Deputy Commissioner Paul Cleary joins me now. Paul, can you just explain exactly what is happening today? This is just a pilot scheme, am I right?
Yes, Katie. So it's a pilot scheme. It's time-bound for 6 months in three different divisions, four different stations. It's very closely controlled with built-in governance and oversight. And it's only for, as I said, 6 months. It's basically given a controlled additional tactical option to our members on the ground when every other approach has failed or isn't safe.
Can you tell me, why do we need to do this at all? Why do Gardaí need tasers?
Well, we're doing this because the realities of frontline policing are changing. And it's our responsibility, I suppose, to make sure the tools, training and safeguards change with them in a way that protects communities and respects the values that define Irish policing. This isn't about changing the culture of Irish policing. It isn't about arming Gardaí and it isn't about increasing force. This is about preventing harm. And we know that conductive energy devices, commonly known as tasers, do deter escalation in certain volatile situations.
What training have the members that will be using them undergone?
So they have extensive training, which is grounded in human rights. And we'll say the potential in the training, there's scenario-based training that cover potential mental health scenarios. That's discussed a lot during the training, starts on day one. And we have presentations on vulnerable persons, including the elderly, young, people at a height, people near water. One of our scenarios on the final day is a mental health scenario. And the course itself is pass, fail, and we have had some fails on it. So it's fairly strict. There's a lot of governance and oversight built in to the whole pilot. For example, every use will be captured on body-worn camera. That's the reason why we have selected the stations we have, because they have members with body-worn camera. So that is the gold standard for us.
Okay, and am I right in saying as well that those members with the body, that's another pilot scheme that's already underway, that the body-worn cameras?
It is, but we deliberately paired the taser deployment with the body-worn cameras, and it's for a very simple reason. The transparency and the evidential integrity. So we decided that if we're going to trial a new use of force option, that the gold standard for accountability is video evidence. And that increases the reliability of the reviews for the pilot. It protects the Gardaí from false accusation and it documents the context, I suppose, in every deployment.
Yeah, because I was listening to Dr. Lucy Michael, who was on with David McCullough this morning. And she was, I suppose, concerned that one pilot was being layered over another pilot, that suggesting that pilots should be taken on their own merits and carefully examined individually.
Well, I think, as I said, we deliberately paired it with the body-worn cameras. It's very important to us that we're very open and transparent with this pilot. Accountability is very important to us. And as I said, the gold standard for that accountability is camera footage that you can see and hear exactly what went on in any scenario. There's nothing better than that.
Okay. And will the details and the outcomes of this pilot be published?
So we already do report to our oversight bodies on use of force every month, and any discharge of tasers will be included in that. And we'll be very open, and we're very open to any stakeholders out there. You mentioned the ICCL. We're more than happy to meet with them. They haven't reached out to us yet. We're more than happy to meet with them or any other body that want to engage. But we will say that this is only a pilot, and that the data will be reviewed extensively. But success for the pilot will be measured.
By who? Sorry to cut across you, Paul. By who will review it? Because my understanding is that in other jurisdictions where these pilots have been run, they're published, they're subject to parliamentary oversight. Will we have that level of oversight here?
Well, we've already liaised with the department, and another cabinet have met on this issue. We have liaised with our Strategic Human Rights Advisory Committee. I presented to them last week, and I have given an undertaking to come back to them after Christmas with an interim. We've also given in a commitment there today for the Police and Community Safety Authority to provide them with updates. We have, on a monthly basis, I have a legal officer in our human rights section and a superintendent in the training college reporting to me monthly on any usage. As you know, we have had tasers in the organisation for over 18 years now. And on average, they're used twice a month.
And just so, to explain to people, yeah. they're used by the armed support units.
Yeah, So we have regional armed support units are all around the country, and they're equipped with tasers. And we also have the National Emergency Response Unit. So what we will say is when it comes to tasers, that they're not going to be the force case. They're part of a graduated use of force response that starts with verbal de-escalation, you know, containment tactics and control. And only after that fails, yeah, do they consider other options available to them.
And I'm sure you have looked at what has happened in other jurisdictions where tasers have been introduced and tried out. And we know from in Queensland, that pilot study found that Indigenous people were 8 times more likely to be the subject of tasers than other citizens. And officers themselves felt that they had become over-reliant on tasers and that they didn't have enough training. And their level of training would be similar to what you've offered on members of An Garda Síochána here.
Well, what I would say is that there's many studies in many jurisdictions all around the world, and we could pick each one of them depending on the results that we want to present. What I would say is that in this jurisdiction, this pilot and any use of tasers will be tightly regulated with strong oversight and governance built in. We want to reassure the public that this is not going to be our primary, we're not going to reach to this forced. It's very much part of a graduated response. Unfortunately, we come across volatile situations every day where people we come across are intent on doing harm to themselves or others or to the members. And, you know, there can be an operational gap there between a baton or a pepper spray, with the next step being calling for armed assistance. So we feel that the taser provides an additional tactical option in that operational gap to assist the public, those that might be victims of these aggressive behaviours, and also our members.
Okay, we leave that there. Acting Deputy Commissioner Paul Cleary, many thanks for joining me with that.
Turning to the story we dealt with at the top of today's programme, the issue of tasers. 128 uniformed Gardaí from 4 designated stations will be authorised to carry tasers while on duty. And joining me to discuss the pros and cons of this introduction is Barry Ward, Fine Gael TD for Dunlera, and Dr. Ilan Ruawal, lecturer in the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. Good evening to you both.
Evening.
Hi, Colin.
Ilan, to you first. One of your concerns is that tasers will mark a shift in the model of policing. What is the specific concern there, and why do you have it?
Yeah, Colin, I think we have to think about tasers, zoom out a little bit from this trial and just see a whole series of different changes which are happening in policing in Ireland at the moment. So we have, for instance, body-worn cameras. We have introduction of new stop and search powers in the new year. We have a new form of pepper spray, which has been introduced quite recently, which is 4 times more powerful than the pepper spray which was introduced before. And all of these new techniques and tools are being used to increase the level of force that is being used by the guards on a day-to-day basis, and to do so in a really kind of quiet and slow way. We're seeing a slow creep of Garda powers, and that inevitably will have an effect on the way in which people interact with the guards. We know that the more force that's used by police forces around the world, then the less confidence the populace has in the guards.
Okay, well, we heard from Acting Deputy Commissioner Paul Cleary at the top of the programme. He said that all other options would be exhausted first before tasers would be deployed. And he pointed to the statistics of the existing use of tasers by the armed response unit, saying there's been roughly 2 taser deployments per month over the last 5 years.
That's right. I mean, I was slightly surprised by that stat, right? That would be 120 uses of tasers across the last 5 years or so, give or take. And if that's a deployment, like an actual firing of the tasers, the electric shock into somebody, then that would be a comparatively high rate of use, particularly where, you know, in the UK, for instance, where you have, you know, tens of thousands of officers with taser experience and use, and they have around 2,500 uses each year. That would seem a little bit high to me. But in any case, look, I think one of the things that, you know, this is being introduced in order to deal with the problem of an increase in assaults on guards. And it's an intuitive response to that, right? Like, so guards are being assaulted at a higher rate, and therefore we need to do something to protect them, to decrease the chance of them being assaulted. The problem is that the evidence from around the world, the evidence particularly from social psychology, is that there's something called a weapons effect.
This is a Cambridge University study, which was on the City of London, which compared unarmed police officers and taser-armed police officers and found that the taser-armed police officers were assaulted more often than the unarmed police officers over
That's
a control
right.
period.
That's right. They were assaulted. They suffered much higher levels of aggression. It's not just the 2018 Cambridge study. It actually goes back to the 1970s when the weapons effect was first spotted by social psychologists. Okay. But it has been repeated over and over again. And the 2018 study is just one okay. example of a really substantial trial which upholds these findings.
OK, although researchers would point out a difference between firearms armed police forces in America and the traditionally unarmed ones on these islands. I do want to bring in Barry Ward, but just in a word, Ilan, before I do go to him, are you against the use of tasers in any and all circumstances, or you just have concerns about how this has been introduced?
Look, at the moment what happens is a police officer enters into a negotiation, essentially, with somebody on the street, right? In a volatile situation, that's their first port of call. They have to use their wits to try and convince the person to calm down or to stop and be arrested, or they then can use some limited amount of force. And they can then escalate that to a much higher level where they have an armed response unit come in, and the armed response unit or the detective unit can use a taser. And that inevitably means that tasers are not being used in a big way.
So in other words, pretty much the model we have at the moment where the armed response unit have them, but day-to-day police forces don't.
Yeah, I would...
That's,
I would definitely be very,
you favour maintaining the status quo
more broadly. Yeah.
Okay, Barry Ward. We heard, as I say, from Acting Deputy Commissioner Paul Cleary at the start of it. He said that tasers would only be used, as I said, when all other options had been exhausted. But a taser can be fired from 5 meters. A baton has to be used in close proximity. So how would the baton or the pepper spray option be exhausted if the taser can be fired from further away?
Well, I mean, that's a matter for training for the guard involved. But there's a couple of things I wanted to comment on first, because as you've mentioned there, Colin, we already have an Asper, an extendable metal baton that Gardaí have. We have the pepper spray. And just in terms of what Ilan was saying, that talking about this being a slow creep of Garda powers, I don't necessarily think that it is. What's important is that the protocols around the use of those items governs whether they're used appropriately or not. So, for example, if a Garda deploys pepper spray or indeed the extendable ASP baton, there has to be a report every time it's deployed, just as there would be in relation to these tasers. And every incidence will be reported to FISRU, which people would know as the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission as well. This is a measure that's primarily designed to give Gardaí an extra line of protection. And we know that over 1,300 Gardaí were assaulted in the course of their work between 2022 and this year. So it is an issue for Gardaí. Now, I am absolutely not in favour of the notion that Gardaí would be armed with firearms, and there's no proposal in this that they would. This is a limited test scheme, basically, to allow them, only under specific training and in a limited number of districts, to see how the tasers work. And what they are is they're another tool for the Gardaí to use. But I agree absolutely with Ilan in saying that we have a police force here that has to use its wits. And we are incredibly lucky that even in the teeth of a civil war and in the aftermath of the War of Independence, we found in the state an unarmed police force. And we saw the benefit of them during COVID, for example, compared to other European Union police forces. what was described as policing by consent by Leo Varadkar. We know that Gardaí have a much greater connection to the community in this country than Gardaí or the police in Paris or London or Berlin do. We know that they're closer to the community and they are more trusted. And I would not support a measure that would diminish that. I know the Ilan made the broader point that where there's more force, there's less confidence in the population. But we're not necessarily talking about more force. What we are talking about is better equipment for the Gardaí and better ability for them to defend themselves when push comes to shove. And what that means is, essentially, when they are being attacked, that they have another arrow in their quiver to defend themselves if and when that happens.
All right. More greater policing numbers, and police in Scotland would have said that, you know, they would be more likely to use the taser where they didn't think backup was on hand. So does this have to come with an increase in Garda numbers, and would it be as well to increase Garda numbers before a taser pilot is rolled out?
Well, the increase in Garda numbers is coming all the time. It has happened year in, year out, and that is one of the commitments of the programme for government. So that will come. And it is very important, because that is important from a visibility point of view. But I think one of the things, and you both mentioned the Cambridge study and other studies in relation to this, the difficulty I would have with the Cambridge study is that, as I understand it, the police you're dealing with are also much more likely to be involved in conflict. So the Cambridge study didn't deal with ordinary beat police.
Well, it did. It was the people in the city, it was the police force in the city of London who deal with the business district. They did a comparison between unarmed police officers without tasers and police officers with tasers. And they found that in that control group, the police officers who had the tasers actually were assaulted more often than the police officers without the tasers.
Yes, but my understanding, and I'm well open to correction, my understanding is that specifically the police officers with tasers were involved in scenarios that created a greater risk. But either way, what we're proposed here, I mean, if you look at the proposal in relation to this pilot scheme, is to equip Gardaí who are going into particular scenarios. We already know that the Armed Policing Response Unit, they have tasers, obviously, and they have other much more serious and much more lethal weapons. Okay. But the idea is that they're going into scenarios where there is already a heightened situation and it allows them to exert greater control.
Okay, I want to go back to Ilan on this, because the Scottish example, they looked at statistics of a number of years up to 2019, but they had these specially trained officers and they didn't always fire the taser when they took it out. They had a protocol to draw the taser, to warn somebody that they had drawn their taser, then they would deploy the red aiming dot, then they would deploy a spark of electricity to warn that the taser had been charged up, and only then would they fire, and then they would have to report a file on that. There was a number of stages in order to increase safety to the public. And I think out of tasers being drawn, tasers were taken out 311 times and only actually fired 8 times.
That's right, yes. So that's pretty standard, that kind of escalation, you know, the taser drawn, then taser being shouted, and then arcing, which is the sparking, and then the firing. And that's something which is the same across the UK, right? So in the UK, more broadly, about 30,000 instances where a taser is drawn, and then only about 2,500 where it's actually fired. I think the problem might be that tasers are fired at a higher level against racialized communities than against the white population.
Different studies find different things on that.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit varied on it. I mean, the biggest studies, I was looking at it this afternoon, and the biggest studies I could find seem to suggest that there was racialized effects. I mean, the thing that would worry me in Ireland about that is that routinely the guards are under the impression that they are not allowed to collect information about race and ethnicity. So, for instance, when there's a stop and search at the moment, the guards do not collect any information about the race or ethnicity of the person being stopped. Makes it very difficult to assess whether or not there are racialized effects. To the extent that I would worry that we won't even be able to assess whether or not the pilot is used in a racialized way.
Okay, Barry Ward, there has been concerns that where, you know, somebody is maybe in the throes of addiction-induced psychosis or is having a very difficult mental health crisis, that tasers may be deployed in a situation like that that may increase the distress or have serious consequences for that person. It would, in effect, be traumatic and exacerbate the mental health crisis.
Yeah, it would, which is why it's really important that the Gardaí who are part of the pilot programme or any Gardaí equipped with a taser is trained to identify that kind of situation. But this is, I mean, as we've said, there's been a huge increase in the number of Gardaí who are being assaulted in the course of their work. We have, as a government, increased the penalty for people who assault a Garda or another on-duty emergency worker from 7 to 12 years. So there has been a legislative response, but it hasn't changed the trend. And so in relation to Gardaí, and remember, we're all the time trying to encourage people to join an Garda Síochána and take on that hugely important duty that they do.
I do want to go back to Ilan on that point. I mean, people would remember the picture of the Garda surrounded during the Dublin riots with people attacking him. Would he not have been better off with a taser, they might ask?
Well, I mean, we'd be much better off if that situation had never occurred, right? There's no reason why a guard should be isolated in a public order situation like that. And on top of that, tasers should not be used in public order situations. So I think that's exactly the wrong image to be putting forward. The right image is of somebody shooting somebody who's in the middle of a mental health crisis with 1,500 volts and a 1 centimeter fishhook-like barb into their body and causing that sort of trauma, right? I think it's really important that we focus on the vast majority of times when tasers will be used. The Deputy Commissioner said it himself, they will be used against people who are intoxicated, they will be used against people who are high, they will be used against people who are in mental health crises.
Okay.
And we know that that is a substantial portion of the times when the tasers will be used. They should not be used at all in public health, public order situations.
Barry Ward, what about the questions about scrutiny? As a public representative, what kind of scrutiny would you like to see about the use of tasers?
Well, we already have a great deal of scrutiny of an Garda Síochána. There is obviously various layers within an Garda Síochána, but most important, FISRU, formerly the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, is an independent body, has no connection to the Gardaí insofar as the people who work there necessarily didn't work for an Garda Síochána. They investigate complaints about Gardaí. My understanding is that this pilot will mean that any Garda who ever deploys the taser will have to make a report, and it will necessarily be investigated by FISRU. So that's a really important safeguard.
Okay, that's where we have to leave it. I'm afraid.
Can I come in on that? No. Is it possible to come in?
Very briefly.
Really quickly. Just on FISRU. FISRU is new. We don't know how it's going to work, but we do know how GSOC works. We know that GSOC was involved in investigating the most serious cases against the guards. We also know that they would then remit the less serious cases back to the guards to investigate themselves.
Okay, but
that FISRU has not have any additional funds. We know they don't have any serious increase in their staff. The idea that FISRU would have the capability to investigate all of the different times when taser is used, I think, is really quite extraordinary.
We may have to come back to that another day for further discussion. That's where we have to leave it for today.
Coming up, Dr. Death, the French medic who murdered 12 patients, plus how do you solve a problem like Dublin City traffic? We'll hear from the man in charge.